flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to Dallas and talk to Bobby Corella. He is with All City Network, Dallas Mavericks head of content, and we're talking about Luka and AD. First and foremost, I know what the reaction was around the country, but it had to be twofold in Dallas, right, with the reaction of they just did what?
I mean, I can't even describe it. You know, a lot of fans have put it this way. It feels like they lost a family member, you know, and I know that sounds really melodramatic, but this is an absolute thunderbolt that came from literally out of nowhere. I mean, we're used to drama in the NBA, right? Like, these trade sagas can last for entire seasons. This lasted for like 5 seconds. Everyone just woke up and Luka was gone, you know, and that feeling of, you know, the rug being pulled out from underneath you, it really feels like something or someone you love has been taken away from you. And it's been a lot for a lot of fans to deal with.
Are you aware how toxic it had gotten behind the scenes with them and him?
I don't even know if it was toxic is the thing. I mean, all of the reporting makes this seem like it's just involving Nico and Luka. Like, and even Luka didn't know about the trade. I mean, this really almost feels like a one-man thing. You know, Mavs general manager Nico Harrison just making the decision, hey, I really want Anthony Davis, and I don't really want Luka Doncic anymore. I mean, it's saying that sentence out loud is just really, it's like I can't even wrap my mind around that, to be honest. But I don't think that it was toxic. I mean, this is a team that just went to the finals last season, you know, and they got off to a great start and then Luka got hurt. But at one point they had won 14 out of 17 games. They were the toast of the town. You know, they went into OKC and beat them two different times already this season. I mean, this team had playoff and title aspirations, and apparently they still do, but apparently Nico and, you know, whatever part of the Mavs front office is aligned with him believes that Anthony Davis gives them a better chance to do it than Luka Doncic.
What is the opinion of Nico? Like, is he well received there? Because he's been behind closed doors. Like, it's not like he's done any blockbuster deals. Obviously, the Kyrie thing, right? And everybody was wondering if that worked. But I mean, like, how is he received there?
You know, it's kind of a weird thing because some of their offseason moves, you know, acquiring Christian Wood in 2022. Going out and getting Grant Williams in 2023, those didn't really work out. But every single season, you know, starting with his first year in 21-22, they come out of nowhere and trade away Kristaps Porzingis out of nowhere for Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans. And fans were furious, but the team went to the conference finals, and Nico looked like a genius. You know, and then last season, they went out and signed Grant Williams in the offseason, and it didn't work. And at the trade deadline, he made a pretty epic pivot to Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington. And, you know, those moves were kind of thought like, there may be sidesteps, but then the Mavs go on to the finals. So, you know, it really feels like his in-season trades. And of course, Kyrie Irving came before that. He's been riding this heater, you know, over the last few years on all these in-season trades he's making. Just everything he touches turns to gold in the season. But I just don't see how this can turn into gold. I mean, Mavs fans love Luka Doncic. This is a once in a lifetime kind of player, you know, and to trade him away from out of nowhere for a player who, and Anthony Davis is unbelievable, but I really feel like the emotional connection that Mavs fans, not just in Dallas, but literally around the world, I mean, Luka's a global icon. The connection that they have is so strong that even if the Mavs win the next two or three titles, like, I'm not sure that it would mean as much to fans as one singular title with Luka ever would.
It's a Bobby Corella, guys, from down in Dallas, Dallas Mavs. You can follow him on Twitter, at Bobby Corella. The thing about Luka came up was the conditioning. We all know that Brian Windhorst, he went off and that was like game four of the NBA Finals, where he said, this guy can't stay healthy. Was the conditioning thing a real thing? Because or did Dallas sort of slow roll it, and there really is a beef about him not being in shape, and they just don't let it get out?
I really do think it was an issue. You know, in a ESPN article between Ramona Shelburne and Tim McMahon, they also reported that at various points throughout Luka's tenure here, including once this season, you know, the Mavs kind of played up injuries for him publicly when the real goal was for him to shed weight, you know, and to hit the gym and lose some pounds. And, you know, I mean, Mavs fans, it's almost been kind of like a joke, a running joke online throughout a lot of Luka's tenure. Like, he just looks different sometimes. You know, a few days, if they have a few days off, he'll look different. Or if they play three games in four nights, by the end of that stretch, he'll look different. Like, I think this is a guy whose weight fluctuates a lot. And, you know, he also deals with quite a few injuries. And I'm not a doctor. You know, I'm just some dude that lives on the internet. But, you know, I feel like the Mavs believe those are connected. You know, Luke is a big guy. He's very tall. He's 6'7", 6'8". You know, big body dude. And with the amount of wear and tear that he takes on a nightly basis, I mean, this guy leads the league in time of possession. And, you know, he's always dribbling the ball, always bringing it up the floor. He faces a lot of double teams. Like, he goes through a lot on the floor every single night. And it's just really hard to sustain that at 240 or 250, or Dave McMenamin reported even 260 pounds.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's a lot. So I do think that there's some validity to that, but I mean, how much, I guess we'll probably all find out together in the coming months as we learn more about this deal.
Bobby, I don't want to ask you about Luka per se. This is more about Kyrie and how he has been there since he got to Dallas. You know, we know he can play. I'm talking about just the relationships and the off the floor stuff. And then AD now coming there to play with him, because the notion is, at least from Nico, hey, you know, Jason Kidd coached these guys. He knows them. It's going to work.
Yeah. I mean, so first and foremost, Kyrie has been unbelievable. You know, I was very skeptical, mm-hmm. Not of the player, but of, you know, all of the off court stuff that Kyrie's been through over the last few years, you know, before he came to Dallas. But that guy has been, you know, respectful toward everybody. He has not been a problem at all on the floor or off the floor. He's been a leader, and, you know, he's really embraced that role. And, you know, he came, the Mavs are a little older now with these, you know, with these last moves over the last couple months. But, you know, whenever he first arrived at the team, the Mavs were pretty young. You know, Luka is 25. Derek Lively is 20. Jaden Hardy's like 21, 22. And PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, they're both 25. Kyrie was the leader on that team, you know, emotionally and, you know, motivationally on that team as they went to the finals last year. And that's been really impressive to see and really cool, you know, to see up close, because it's one thing to hear, you know, things about a guy, but then you see something different whenever you're there. And it just, it really shifts your perception of him. But, you know, as for how he, as the leader of this team, is going to navigate this period, you know, I don't know. You know, Mark Stein has reported that Kyrie still, you know, the Mavs' goal is still to sign him to an extension this summer, and that Kyrie hopes to do that. A lot can change, obviously, over the next 6 months, depending on how the rest of the season goes. But, you know, it's going to be put to the test. You know, I think Anthony Davis wants to be here. I think he's excited for the opportunity. He waived his trade kicker, so he's sacrificing a little bit of money to allow the Mavs to maybe make another move before the deadline on Thursday. But and he's going to be facing so much pressure. Anthony Davis is the guy that has to replace Luka Doncic. You know, like, who can possibly do that? It's just, you know, it's going to be really, really tough to see. So, you know, but fortunately, you know, Kyrie and AD have played in so many high-level games, so many pressure-packed situations over the years, and hopefully they're going to be able to figure out a way to make it work, because, you know, unfortunately, they've already played almost 60 games. Like, it's already February. You know, this thing is entering the home stretch.
Right. Bobby Corella is with us, guys, from down in Dallas. Mavs basketball correspondent, also head of content for Dallas Sports. Here's the thing. It was like one-stop shop. It was one deal. It was one phone call or a series of phone calls only between one team. I got to imagine in Big D they're losing their minds that you didn't shop around, because everyone's saying you should have gotten more in this trade.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. I think if Nico would have canvassed the whole NBA, you know, maybe talked to three or four teams, like in advanced discussions or whatever parlance you want to use, and came away with Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a first-round pick, I don't think anyone would believe that that would be the package, the best package on the table, right? Now, by all accounts, Nico really, really wanted Anthony Davis to be a Dallas Maverick. Okay, I'm down with that. But you got to get something else, too. You know, AD is 6 or 7 years older than Luka. He's going to make $55 million a year or whatever for the next 3 years. And then he's going to be 35 and he's, you know, going to, who knows what state he'll be in at that point. Luke is 25 years old, you know, and you would have been able to sign him to a 4 or 5 year extension this summer to keep him well past his 30th birthday. So you're sacrificing a lot of future, a lot of fandom, a lot of, you know, the spirit of your team. And also Luke is really, really dang good too. You know, he scored 73 points in a game a year ago. You're trading that for a much older player who's battled his own series of injuries throughout his career. Mm. You need to come away with multiple picks. You got to come away with all their picks, you know, whatever picks they can offer. They're two or three best young players. You know, you should never be walking away from a trade like this believing we could have gotten more, you know. And I think the one kind of the one caveat of the whole thing is the Mavs still wanted to compete this year. So if they just wanted to blow it up, sure, I guess you're going to go hit up Utah or OKC or whatever teams has all these, you know, 30 first round picks in the next 10 years or whatever. But they wanted to compete. So they wanted a really, really good player back. I'm sure they still could have gotten a player that's just as good as AD or maybe more in addition to more picks if they would have looked around the league. And I think that is a big sticking point with Mavs fans too. You know, if you're going to do this to us, if you're going to put us through this heartache, this pain, this period of change after a finals run, at least give us something to good feel about, you know, to feel good about on the back end.
Bobby, appreciate it, man. Bobby Carrillo, thank you so much. All City Network, Dallas Mavericks, head of content. Great stuff. We're trying to figure out, you know, more insight about this trade. I can't wait to see what both teams are going to look like and how this shakes out. Man, appreciate it, man. Thank you for stopping by.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you for having me. Okay.